I have an announcement to make for your international wire. The Wolfgar Command has just struck a blow against British colonialism. Be warned that I have a long arm, and I'm prepared to fight my enemies wherever they may be. Don't forget, there's no security.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Good morning and welcome to Film Sack, everybody. It's Film Sack, episode 462. We are the
good
show.
Good morning.
We mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Like I said, episode 462. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. I don't think your glasses are big enough, Dunaway.
No, can you guys see me from over there?
Oh, hi. We are the Nighthawks, the mighty, mighty Nighthawks. Caw! Now, quickly, to the Nighthawk copter. We must stop that dreamy blue-eyed devil terrorist Wolfgar and keep him from killing the Skytram babies. Oh, hi, Pam. I thought you were dead. Regardless, I don't think we'll be needing a stewardess for this flight, but that does give me an idea. Say, can I borrow your dress and a wig? Oh, it's not a wig. Okay, whatever. All right, pilot, get me closer. No closer. I need to make direct eye contact. Ah, there it is. Yeah. Look at me, looking at you, looking at me. That's it, Wolfgar. Keep looking. Yeah, that's right. I'm a man dressed up like a lady, and this is the early 80s, and it's kind of messing with your manhood, isn't it? Wolfgar! Who's the victim now? Oh, shit. He's shooting the babies. Quick, pilot. Get me to a rotary telephone. I need to make a hasty phone call to my estranged lover that will take nearly 3 minutes to dial. Nighthawks! Oh!
I like that you've added this kind of superhero element where they yell caw.
It definitely felt like a superhero movie with no superheroes.
Yeah.
This is the plot of every superhero movie that you would see today.
Yeah, without any heroism, really.
Right. My superpower is I could dress as a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Also with us, Randy, Dirty, Dirty, New York is Dirty, Jordan.
Ugh. Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
All right, you pukes. Listen up. And pay attention this time. Before we can make a podcast, we have to learn the history of podcasts. Now, we've been over this. Who is this podcaster? I'm holding up a picture. It's a famous podcaster. Who is it?
Is it Wolfgar?
Wolfgar.
Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla.
Ricky Trace.
It's Adam Curry, you miserable maggot.
Yes.
You can't make an episode of a podcast, guys, something you've been doing for years, if you don't know who a person in a picture is and what they did. Mm. I mean, just look at him. Curry looks like a serial killer if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start over. But right, that's the bell. Don't forget your lunchboxes. Please go straight to the pickup lane and find your parents. Oh, Brian, I am so proud of you for knowing who Todd Cochran was earlier. You get a gold star. Thank you. Have a nice day, everyone.
Can't believe we invoked Todd Cochran on this show. That makes two. Well done.
This intro is so gay.
It's so gay. Also with us, and finally, Brian, he goes to a better life, Ibbit.
Oh, he does. Hello, New York City Police Department. I'm Peter Hartman, because they didn't think the name Nigel Davenport was British enough. And I'm from the London Anti-Terrorist Department. And yes, I know what you're all thinking. I am British. I've assembled you all to form the Anti-Terrorist Action Command Team. And they've only given me 11 days to train you all, so we'd better get started. The Webster's English Dictionary defines terrorism as... 11 days doesn't give us much time for this, so we'd better get a move on. The terrorist you'll be tracking goes by the name Wolfgar, and I can assure you he is not an NPC from the game World of Warcraft. He is angry and German, and that makes him extremely dangerous. He currently has a beard and glasses, and we can't for the life of us figure out what he'd look like without them. In the meantime, if you come across Wolfgar, it is important that you maintain a safe distance, which is close enough for him to see you stare uncomfortably at him, but far enough that you can't actually stop him if he were to run away from you. Go get him, Task Force, and hey, let's be careful out there.
Yeah, there very you
nice.
Go.
Nice, what was that called?
John Cleese? Or,
No. At the end, the reference.
Hill Street Blues.
Yeah,
sure.
Hill Street Blues. Yeah. I love
it. It was very Hill Street Blues, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. Well done.
I regularly wonder what this would be like if this was a video cast, like you're doing a green and I am certain that we would have stared at each other in close up.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
That's right.
There was a lot of, okay, let's just stare all the way to the point. It's like, okay, we've stared across the room. How can we up the staring game? I know. We'll put one of them on a Skytram and the other in a helicopter, and they can get really uncomfortably close and stare at each other.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That was hardcore.
I know we haven't even said what the damn movie is. But that's one of the first things you did. But that's one of the first things I want to talk about is the goal of that helicopter tram standoff. But yeah. Scott, what's the movie that we all watched?
The movie was called Nighthawks. It is from 1981. Stars your Sylvester Stallone, Rutger Hauer, and Billy D. Williams are your chief folks there. And that's the movie. Oh, directed by Bruce Malamuth.
And Stallone.
Oh,
Billy D. Williams in the role that the script almost forgot and had to figure out what to do. Oh, right. He's in this movie. We're like an hour on. Let's hurt him and send him to the hospital. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And then for the rest of the movie, let's put him in like regular cop clothes and then put a nice scar on his face. And that'll be it. He'll be Scarface for the rest of the movie.
Boy, that thing sure healed up.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we get Rambo and Lando.
Yeah, Rambo and Lando. Yeah. Lando Rambo.
Damn, there goes my Twitter.
Movie came out in...
Were you going to do a David Letterman Rambo Lando? Lando Rambo.
Right.
This thing came out in 1981? No? Right. 81? Do I have that right?
Hold 81, on. Correct.
81.
It came out in 81, but it went through production hell for a while. It actually started filming, which might explain why we were still having discotheques on a movie from 1981. They existed, but they were not in the popular culture.
This movie was a couple years later, right? Yeah. There had a secondary director, a director who was fired or let go or quit. His name was Gary Nelson. He's uncredited. Mm-hmm. Bruce Malamuth got the credit. So there's some kind of infighting
there. But don't forget about Stallone's lawsuit that happened during this one, because he directed the subway scene and took a little direction on his own, because he was a director from a movie called Rocky.
Yeah.
You might have seen.
Probably felt like he could do some of that. He'd gone from, hey, here's my wiener, to making Rocky, and now he wanted to strut his stuff around. He has really bad hair and a giant pair of glasses in this movie.
Whoa.
Dude, looks amazing.
Right, Randy? Yeah, I don't think so,
nope,
Scott.
No, nope, hold on. I'll give you this. He looked amazing toward the end in his cool SWAT outfit. He looked terrible when he was like just trucking around town looking for shit.
If you didn't wash your hair all day after you've been walking through the filthy streets of early 80s New York.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he become Candace Bergen's house man in Murphy Brown? I could have sworn it's the same same guy.
Similar guy.
Stallone consistently looks so freaking good in this movie that he actually made me dislike John Travolta around this time. Mm-hmm. Like I realized, Travolta was actually a poser in his movies made around this time. This is how people wanted to look. It's so suave.
I guess so. I mean, I'm putting an image back in for a second run in our Discord here, so you can just have a look at that more time.
Look, I'm with Randy. I tell you, this Stallone looked good. He looked hot in this movie.
I don't know. There were moments, I suppose. Billy D. Williams just looked like a scarf wearing Lando. There was no change. Mm-hmm. Just the same.
I didn't realize there was so many scarfs during the early 80s. That's not something I usually see in my movie attire from the early 80s. What people walking around.
Especially not in the New York summer where they're like, sure is hot in here. And I'm like, yeah, because you got five layers on, freaking Rutger Hauer. What do you think? Of course it's hot in
here. You get six scarves when you join the New York Police Department, actually.
This is the movie that disproves anyone's notion that Stallone can't speak clearly. Mm. He is delivers lines fine.
No, he's great.
Maybe sure. There's a maybe there's a like a damage or a change to his ability to speak later in his career. Mm-hmm. But like in this movie, I forgot that it was Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. Like the same guy.
And the I think you're right. And I think the reason why is because Stallone kind of started as he went along, started, I don't know if he realized he wasn't putting enough passion into his acting, because even like when in the tram scene where he's in the helicopter and Rucker Hauer is like spraying up close that lady with the machine gun, the Uzi, yeah, just oozing on her.
Yeah.
He's just looking at her and goes, "Oh no, he killed her. What are we going to do?" And I'm like, that would have been a good time to go rage.
Yeah.
You know, and not to be able to talk well, but he stayed very calm.
He was angry about the hypothetical killing of hostages during the training class than he was for the actual killing of random people in the nightclub.
Oh, mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. He killed the lady.
But I'll say, to Randy's point, though, I mean, I feel like this is a dangerous thing to say, but I'm going to say it. I think this might be the best acting we've gotten out of Sylvester Stallone in all Rocky the film better. Sack movies we've seen. We haven't seen Rocky Balboa, and we haven't seen the first Rocky, and there's a few others I would probably put ahead of this.
But we watched First Blood, and I feel like that was really good acting compared to this.
Oh, are you saying he was better in this than in Tango and Cash, Scott?
Yes.
Fight me.
I'm saying that. Those are the words
Shake
I'm saying.
Shake my mind.
Those words are fully coming out of my face. But yeah, like, okay, well, even if we're not talking about the best, this is like real acting. It's him not doing that. What are you doing? Like, he's not doing that. He's talking like a normal ass person, and it works.
Favorite Stallone drama performance is definitely Copland.
I can't remember.
I mean, that's unfair. That's like saying, oh, you know, Stephen Baldwin's greatest performance was, in Usual Suspects. I mean, it's kind of the. Well, no, I'm just saying it's kind of the obvious one. It's like,
I think a lot of people forget he was in Copland. I think a lot of people forget that he even exists.
It is like so far and above. It's so highly regarded, far and above anything else he ever did, that it almost doesn't feel like that was Sylvester Stallone in that.
I've never seen Copland. Is it worth seeing?
I love Copland. Oh, absolutely worth seeing.
Yeah.
And I think it's on Stars right now. I was going to watch it because I was trying to convince I had this Stallone discussion with my significant other. She's like, no, I don't watch movies with Stallone because we was watching Nighthawks. And I'm like, well, I said, well, it's a thriller kind of crime drama.
Why? Did she tell you why, by the way? I'm curious about
absolutely.
That.
She doesn't care. When she grew up, her brother watched a lot of Rocky and Rambo movies.
Yeah.
But she had never been exposed to the good ones. She never saw the first Rocky or the first Rambo. She saw like Rocky 3 and, mm-hmm. you know, like Rambo 3 and 2. And so I'm like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't see the good stuff. I said, in Copland, you got to watch Copland if you want to see Stallone shine and see what he's capable of, because I think that might give you an idea of where he's at.
Yeah.
But she didn't watch this with me anyway.
Yeah. I mean, because it's funny how uneven he is, or can be.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly, it was a force in Hollywood where, you know, the dude's forever enshrined as one of the great hit makers of 80s and 90s, and even, you know, sometimes now we get the Expendables made a lot of money, despite, you know, it being kind of dumb or whatever. So
you know, rarely do I ever just sit down and go, man, you know what I like to watch today? A Rocky movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if a Rocky movie is on, I'm halfway through it. I'm going, yeah, get him, Rocky. And I'm like, why am I so invested with such a, you know, I just walked by the TV screen and, you know, within 5 minutes, I'm already sitting there with my fist clenched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about to yell at the screen.
Yeah, it's great. Captivating. It's great.
This movie really takes you for a ride from the start. It starts with three consecutive action sequences that define tropes in cop action movies. Like, I'm sure there were all kinds of movies before this that it's just cribbing from, but my gosh, the tropes.
Give us one.
He's a hot-headed cop. Nothing like the hot-headed police chief, though. Oh, my God, the hot-headed
that
chief.
Guy.
And he's a
our first angry acting of the movie, by the way.
Yeah,
police chief.
He was hardcore.
He's a hot-headed cop who happened to be a killer in Vietnam, but now as a cop, he never uses his gun. But when he uses his gun, he's about to kill the bad guy. But there's a child looking on. Like, trope.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the three sequences are... they're pulling a sting, and they have to chase some muggers. And so it's like really exciting running in the middle of the night action, which Stallone does really well. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is in London, and it's a terrorist bombing a department store.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was New York. Wasn't that New York? That was in New York.
No, no? That was still in London.
Oh, well, that lady did not have an accent. That annoys me now because she had a... Yeah. She
the one
like,
that he was hitting on?
Yeah.
That,
I have, she totally did. I have audio of her. Hold on. Let's hear her.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. She sounded, she had an accent.
She sounded to me like... here she is.
May I help you with anything?
I don't know.
Oh, yes. I think you might be interested in something like this.
It's if it is, it's bad.
She's all up here, so it's hard to say.
Well, yeah, you're right, though, Scott. Yeah.
So that's
she's flattened the accent curve.
Now that you guys are saying that, it makes sense contextually with the location, but I think they did a bad job with her. She just didn't fit.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a while since I've watched a movie that was entirely filmed on locations. I am jealous of this location scout in some ways, and in some ways like, holy crap, the shit holes he found to film some of this stuff was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Well, I think New York was just that way then, right? Like, that was New York.
Right,
or at
right.
least when I was growing up.
They were still cleaning it up.
And I wrote this on my notes here. When I was growing up, this is the only vision I had of the place. Like, I had never been there, so I didn't know truly. But everything I ever saw, every movie, all TV shows, all of it was just dirty, shit everywhere. People gathered around trash cans that were on fire, warming their hands up at night. You know, just every vision of
where
New
did you
York
get
was like that.
What's burning in this big trash can right now? I don't even know.
And people,
I don't know.
So in the early 90s, Tina and I had just gotten married, and we made a trip out to Connecticut to see my dad. And we were staging the trip so that we could go from Connecticut to New York, go to Grand Central Station, take a train from Grand Central Station down to North Carolina to spend the weekend with our friend Trish, who was getting married, time this whole trip. But unfortunately, it meant that my dad, we had to get up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning in New Haven to get to New York to drop us off at Grand Central Station to get onto the train, which was going to be an all-day train ride. And on the way to Grand Central Station, Tina and I both saw, and we like, I wish we had our cameras out. We saw the group of people huddling around a barrel with fire coming out of it next to a couple prostitutes wearing fur coats and like bikini bottoms. It was like they were filming the movie set,
they
the movie called This is New York right there on our way to Grand Central Station.
Wow.
New York's changed a lot. I mean,
oh, it's hugely gentrified
80s.
Now. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's not even close to what it used to be, but.
It's nothing just like it there. Was. I want to agree with Dunaway. There are some really awesome and frankly hard to believe sets in this film.
Mm-hmm.
The subway under construction is by far the most memorable one. Like it's just this thing that you just don't see. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have thought about if they hadn't used it in this movie. And Stallone does all his own stunts. And so watching Sylvester Stallone running up through a bunch of rubble, like top speed, watching him jump onto a moving train on the back, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
like, I never expected going into this movie, which I had never heard of until we put it on our list. I never expected going into this movie to get this level of that.
When Rutger Hauer fell and skinted his knees.
Oh yeah.
Near the track. Yeah. I was like, oh my god.
Ow. That was just that was not staged at all. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
I watched that 3 or 4 times. Yeah. I just was like, because for starters, I thought, oh, that's a stunt man pulling a really good pratfall, almost like he's trying to. He was like a stunt man trying to make the people filming him laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh shit, that's Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
That's no stunt man. Like he gets closer so you can see his face. And this is long before they morphed actors' faces onto the stunt man's face, right?
Yeah, they couldn't do any of that then.
Oh,
it was pretty impressive.
And that looked like it hurt too, because he either landed on the rail or on the ties, the subway ties. One of the whichever one it was, that had to have hurt.
Yeah. You know it did. That's the reason why it was so sweating so bad. It's like, oh my god.
This is all pre Blade Runner, right? Yeah, this is his first American film.
This is first, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. First Western film. Yeah.
In my huge list of tropes, I didn't quite get to the magical plastic surgery, which is early in the movie.
Oh my gosh.
I
face.
I'm I feel like you have to. I feel like, yeah, the movie asks you to forgive it for this. Yeah. Like, this trope is so badly used in this movie that you just have to look the other way and move on.
Yeah, the his getup. I mean, I have to admit, I knew it was fake and terrible looking before the work was done.
Right.
But it was enough of a change that the change was effective, right? So I see the change and went, oh, wow, yeah, look at that change. Like, he's so smooth-faced and young-looking now. Before, he was kind of ruddy and old, even though it looked really fake. That in that one way, it was effective. But but you're right. It was kind of shitty.
The part that didn't work was the fact that they kept telling us, oh, here's December the 30th in America. Here's London.
You're right.
And then it's like, facelift, and like 2 days later, he's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot of fast. I mean, I mentioned Billy Dee Williams' face healing up really, really quickly.
Yeah,
it feels like that. You know, they played hard and fast and loose with the.
Also, he got sliced in the chin. And okay, so I've been watching movies like all of us our entire lives, and so movie wounds, we have an idea of how they affect an individual in the context of a movie, and so. When you see somebody get cut on the chin and then they're like all leaning over and going, oh, you're like, shut up. Hmm. Now, if it happened in real life, I get cut on the chin like that in real life, I would go to the hospital.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Of course you
get
would.
Get stitches.
Yeah.
But no, in a movie, when a cop gets sliced on the chin, they just go, whatever.
Well,
put some dirt on it. Let's go.
To his credit, it was like all the way down the side of his face. Like it may have been. You're not wrong, right? Like, I just watched Extraction. I highly recommend it, by the way. It's that new thing with Chris Hemsworth premiered last night.
Netflix is killing it.
Yeah, it's very good. I loved it. Imagine, like, it's like Mercenary Military meets John Wick. It's very, very good. I loved it.
Like, wow. Netflix is, like, last month it was Mark Wahlberg as Spencer.
Yeah.
What was the movie?
Spencer Confidential.
For Hire?
No, it was. It is a Spencer for Hire movie. Like it's a man called. It's him and Hawk. Oh yeah, that's a lot of people don't know this.
I did not know that. Yeah. I thought y'all were joshing
me. Nope, that's for real. That nobody knew because they don't really make a big deal out of it.
Well,
really
I gotta
it.
Go, fellas.
Yeah, today, Brian Dunaway. Today, you have to watch the new Netflix Spencer movie starring Mark Wahlberg.
It's very good.
Really good.
Yeah, it's very good. Huh. And it's got the big huge dude from Wakanda that was like the bear clan the where all the fur.
I love him.
He plays Hawk in this, and Hawk, as you know, was originally played
Didn't he get dusted in the film? I'm starting to forget.
No,
who got
he lived. He lived. He was he may have been dusted, but he came back.
Right. I think
the OG Hawk was Captain Sisko.
Yeah, Captain Sisko. Yeah, Commander Sisko was original Hawk, and so it's weird to think that, but man, it's really good. And this thing, Extraction, is very good, and some of the best action I've seen in a while. The Russo brothers produced it. One of the Russo brothers wrote it. I forget the guy who directed it, but I was super impressed. The action's incredible in it. But anyway, and Hemsworth's great, but my whole point in connecting the two is he does a lot of the stuff Dunaway's talking about where he'll get so banged up in a fight that it would kill most people. Like, there's just no way that they would survive. But he's got this adrenaline thing going where he'll just keep pushing through. There's a bullet through his shoulder. Fine. I got to keep going. I got to keep pushing. So I do think that maybe one little clip across the face for Lando was probably not enough to freak out as bad as they did.
Not even. He wouldn't have stopped chasing. They wouldn't have stopped chasing a terrorist because of a cut on his chin.
Yeah.
They would have kept going. Yeah. I mean, there's just no way. Yeah. I mean, let's just put it this way. I've been to the emergency room for stupid stuff. Like, I got a fish hook caught in my thumb one time. I went to the emergency room to get it cut out. Okay? I mean, if you saw that in a movie, you'd be like, he's not going to go to the emergency room to get that fish hook pulled out, is he?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can just pop it out. But that's not.
In real life, sometimes you, I don't know, I always put off till the very last second if I ever have to go to the ER for anything. Like, I hate it so bad.
I get an ingrown toenail, I'm definitely going to the emergency room or the doctor if it gets bad enough. Right?
Oh, I'll go to a doctor, but ER for that? Hell no. I ain't going in
like
there.
If I was a guy in a movie, I'd just let it fall off. It would not stop my quest of whatever I'm working on.
Because you're a guy in a movie, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're tough. And
so you're saying that I don't need to lean in and hear you whisper something to me right before you go into surgery.
That was great. I love that guilt trip. You should have took
the
shot.
Right,
now right. Babies are going to die.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Yeah. How are you feeling about that? I really, really did not think that was a realistic thing for his friend to say on that stretcher. Because the truth.
But I loved it.
Yeah. But the truth is Sylvester Stallone stayed back to help him. He was there to help.
But that is such a Stallone thing. I don't know if it was written that way on the paper, because I really feel like that was a Stallone influence. I think he massaged some of these characters and some of these lines. He always plays this in his films. He always has to have his character feel guilt about something as a driving force. So I honestly feel like this is probably something he pushed for.
Anything Stallone has influence on is about masculinity, every single thing. And you can see here, if he had influence on how this character was portrayed, it was about putting the conflict between him as a man with every other man. So he had to be in conflict with the Brit who came over to teach the class that was so ridiculous. He had to be in conflict with his boss. And ultimately, he has to be in conflict with his partner, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how Stallone works. I can't come up with an example of him not doing this in any movie. And the guy, it was so obviously coming that the Billy Dee Williams character was going to ultimately be, mad at him about something. I just couldn't believe that that's the point where they put it. They put it on a stretcher where Stallone just saved his life. And instead of saying something like, go get this MF or something like that.
Get him for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't do that.
It was screw you is what he said.
It was, I don't know. I went into this thinking, so we get a little backstory here. Dunaway had said in our little private off the show chat that he wasn't sure about this one. It was a little bit dry, and he's not wrong. It is a little dry.
It's very dry.
I totally disagree.
I guess I do think it's dry by today's standards for a movie that would be like this. In fact, I think a new Nighthawks would be a rad idea. Let's make a new one. That's cool. But I don't know. This felt like a really well crafted thriller of the era. And I was getting to see it for the first time, and it was nice, to get that. I enjoyed it. I came out of this going, all right, there's some dumb shit in here.
I don't know if
but
I enjoyed it. Mm. How about I experienced it?
I appreciate it. I respected it.
Right. I respect it.
Okay.
Because yeah. Right. I feel like you got three really big tentpole moments of the film. The Roosevelt Bridge tram deal, the ending in the kitchen, and I did have in my notes one of the other one, but I can't remember what it was.
Fish hooking of the doctor.
That's right. Fish hooking. Yes.
The nightclub sequence where they identify him for the first time.
Standing there. That was pretty good.
Yeah. That business was a little too, why wouldn't they either go closer to him and capture him or stand back further and just watch him from a distance for a little while, just to kind of get an idea of if he really is the guy, instead of standing 20 feet away from him where he's going to see you staring at him and figure out that you're onto him.
Yeah.
What movie today would have the balls? I say have the balls to have two characters walking through a discotheque looking for somebody for almost 5 minutes with nothing really to look at.
And just standing there in their coats and their scarves. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I considered dry. I was like, wow.
Oh, did you guys?
I need
go ahead,
mayonnaise
Randy.
For this sandwich.
Sorry, Randy, go ahead.
That's just a product of its times. And I think you're saying it hasn't aged well because the audience at the time was going to be really entertained by that look into that nightlife that they're unfamiliar with. The audience is not made up of people who have ever been to the city, much less gone to a club like that. So you're going to take your time and depict it in 1981 because your audience will appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Now we're just looking at it and we're just like, what's going on? Why is this taking so long? And what's weird is it's only an hour and a half long movie.
Right.
It wasn't even taking long, in its own time, much less in hours.
Yeah. It's not a huge long film.
Speaking of time and how things were paced so differently during this time, watching Stallone try to speed dial his wife on that rotary phone was hilarious to me.
I know, dude. I kept thinking, man, that in a modern right. thing, that would just be pick your phone up, hit a button, and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we?
Hello, Sparky. Can you get my wife on the line?
Do we have Lindsay Wagner as fully bucketed chick? Is that?
Oh my god!
Oh, she's so Lindsay bucketed. Wagner. And the thing is, according to a bunch of crap in the trivia, she was supposed to be way more prominent. Like yeah, lots more scenes. Sylvester Stallone was pissed about a couple that got cut because there was like this big drawn out emotional restaurant scene where apparently a lot of character stuff happens. And yeah, she just got hosed on this deal. And I like her a lot.
When she was on screen, she was fantastic. And the way they were, you know, working it up, they were, you know, using plenty of tropes. You know, she works for a sleazy, you know, dressmaker, tailor, whatever that guy
take
is.
Take him out and entertain him for a little while. Take him out.
Do your womanly duty.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they were setting it up to be a really good character. And I'll tell you, the fact that they kind of kept her in the background, it made that ending pop for me, because when I said that, I was totally taken.
I laughed my head off. I laughed so hard. I'm not supposed to laugh, so right? I'm not supposed to laugh.
I laughed so hard.
Fell around? No. Yeah, no, we all laughed so hard. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, Lindsay Wagner's boss, or whoever the guy was that Pimp. Was sleazily telling her what to do, that was Jamie Gillis. And if you don't know who Jamie Gillis is, maybe don't look him up on IMDb. I don't know. I don't know about you personally, whether or not you will appreciate. Jamie Gillis was in hundreds and hundreds of adult films.
Before or after this?
During, before, and after.
Ever. Wow. Okay.
The many lives.
Oh my god!
Jamie
this
Gillis.
Guy's been. This guy has got more credits. I'm like, I'm still scrolling.
Yeah,
the credits are just amazing.
IMDb is willing to list anything that's a film, so regardless of what kind of film
this
it is.
This begs the question: was this Stallone's connection with the porn industry? Was this related?
Maybe.
Well, let's see.
I mean, he only had the one, right? He never did anything.
I know. Yeah, so did this guy talk him into it, or did Stallone meet this guy? And he worked him into his
film. Right. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, which way was it going?
Italian days.
Maybe.
This was
this guy. Yeah, 71 was his first.
Wow.
More dirty debutantes, 47.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I'm just saying, like, it was just, he's like a steaming turd in this movie. When you're watching Nighthawks and you get to this spot where he's talking to Jamie Gillis is talking to Lindsay Wagner, you're like, whoa, this is not at all. Like, there's something discordant with the rest of the movie. So I had to go look him up. I'm like, who is that person? And oh, there it is. Okay.
Notice it makes sense now.
Wow, makes me really want to see one of his movies called The Trials of Chicky Tetrazzini.
Oh.
What is that? That sounds like food.
Is that a porn or a cooking? Yeah, I mean, Tetrazzini. Right. Chicken Tetrazzini. Both. Yeah,
gonna pull a George Costanza there. Gonna get those two things, the sex and the food together. Oh, I don't want to do
Parmesan
that.
Parmesan is delicious, and
it's a pastrami.
Is it hot in here?
Jamie Gillis. He has one line in the whole film, and here we are.
That's crazy.
It's the sleaziest line. So yeah. So let's talk about Shaka Holland for a second. The bald lady from Star Trek.
Yeah, the Star Trek bald lady. I am V'ger lady.
Yeah.
She died too early.
Everything she's in, she just eats up the screen, in my opinion.
She was awesome. She died at 49 is all. She had a massive heart attack, which is, she had no one had any reason to believe that she'd even be at risk for it. And she just died suddenly at 49. It's horrible. But yeah, she's a presence, man. Just a wackadoo looking lady in this thing, obviously, and doing
a
great accent.
She has no maternal instincts. I love the way he described her during that thing. She has no maternal instincts.
Shaka was her name. Shaka. And she is obviously she's our one and only Star Trek connection, which we'll get to.
Oh, really? No other Star Trek connection?
But that's a good real one. Strong. Yeah, that's a real strong
Yeah, that
connection.
one counts in large amounts, I think. I found a piece of trivia for Ibbot here. The widescreen DVD release from Universal Pictures substitutes two songs during the disco shootout. The first is Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones, and the second is I Am a Man, or I'm a Man by Keith Emerson. Earlier VHS releases from the MCA Universal Home Video, as well as some television versions, contained altered songs as well. So I guess the Netflix version is the original. with these two, Brown Sugar and I'm a Man.
Yeah, the song's put back in there. And of course, Keith Emerson. Boy, it is proggy as hell. All the music going through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of keyboard synthesizer, almost distracting. Like when he's doing the tunnel, the undercover tunnel thing, Stallone with the briefcase and the Tufts come out and then the cop car just drives on in there.
Totally agree.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's like, womp, 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 wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
I kept expecting a theremin or something. It was weird.
It Emerson, like Lincoln Palmer, Keith Emerson, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, that's who he's the Emerson in that. I didn't know
he's
that.
He's the Emerson and Emerson, Lincoln Palmer,
All right. Well, I had it trivia, also, and then you gave me more. That's fantastic.
The music stylings also felt like there was some conflict going on where, like, one person was saying, this is going to sound very disco. And another person was saying, no, we need it to sound very 80s. Mm. And they couldn't make up their minds, so they mushed them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's because of the long production on it. I think it started in 78 and didn't actually reach the screen until like 81.
So it crossed a musical boundary. It really did.
It probably did. And it felt like it did. Like in the movie, it felt like there was a weird turn musically. Where some of it was like, oh, we're in the disco era, and then suddenly we were just sort of in this early 80s rock era, and couldn't really make sense of it, but yeah, go ahead.
Did they say the title of the movie in the movie this time?
Yes. Because yes.
When did they say it? Because I kept
you know what? No. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Extraction, because I watched Extraction after this, and he said, all right, we're meeting at the Extraction, and I laughed, because I said, if this is for Film Sack, I would be recording this. But no, they never did, because I'll always record it if they did, and you're right, they never did. So I looked that up. Nighthawks is a term used by especially the New York Police Department in the 70s, that meant detectives that would go out at night and do like nighttime detective work, like they're
right. And they called it some kind of weird thing in the movie too. Their profession, they were like, it wasn't undercover cop. It was something like, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Right.
It was something odd. Street, I'm like, was there a position?
Bumpkin. Wasn't it street?
Street
pumpkin.
Street,
what?
Street pumpkin.
Street crimes.
No, he said street something, not street pumpkin.
Street something. Okay.
I'm just a street pumpkin.
I'm a street pumpkin.
Yeah, we're a couple of street pumpkins. Trying to get the bad guys.
Don't look at us. We're just a couple of street pumpkins.
He did say something in this movie that he says in a movie we've seen before forever ago, and I can't wait to play it. I have both lined up because
I am the law.
It's like the same exact line, but you have the difference between an enunciating Stallone and a non-enunciating Stallone. It's fantastic.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I just want to say this leads me right to the most prominent trope that I wrote down.
Well, that deserves a thing. Hold on here.
The pencil off on.
If I don't play that now, when would I? There you go.
Chekhov's everything in this movie.
Yeah.
Early on in the movie, we get to see Stallone in drag. Like, and it's portrayed very straight. Like, it's very, you know, manly and tough of him that he's in drag. But you don't realize it, that everything is going to come back around. The first time we see Rutger Hauer in New York City, he's in front of the tram. It's Chekhov's everything. Mm-hmm. If something really is shown to you in this early in this movie, you're going to see it again.
It's being shown to you for a reason.
Right. And there's lots of times, there's lots of foreshadowing. They'll say something. It's like, and they'll set it up like, this is like going to happen. And then sure enough, like halfway through the movie, there it goes. It happens.
Yep.
I have to tip my hat to the movie, though. I really was surprised by the big reveal at the end.
The
I
ending was totally took me. Totally took me. I think it's because I hadn't seen Lindsay Wagner for so long at that point, and it just the way that was cut, the editing was good. It really took me until
I saw him creeping up at her back, and I could tell from the back it wasn't her.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I didn't. I thought, all right, so Stallone's going to either shoot through the window or he's going to bust in through the door just as Rutger Hauer is approaching Lindsay Wagner. That did take me, catch me off guard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was waiting for the gunshot to go off because he was aiming the gun. The knife. I was waiting for the gunshot to go off as soon as he went to slice. I thought I was going to stand in the doorway or something. Totally took me off. By the way, that was a really good home invasion for, 81, because that's scary. Somebody coming in, you don't think about that anymore, because your only line of communication was those stupid house phones, and somebody could take one phone off in the house, and all of the phones are pretty much...
It cuts all the phones off.
It cuts all the phones, right. So That's a scary thought.
That is a scary thought. And that was actually handled really well.
The recliner chair that he put it on makes that unusable too. Like you can't sit in that recliner chair because the receiver of the phone is on there.
Exactly. I wanted to smack Lando because when they went under the water, the thing, you know, essentially drowned in the water and they're all looking at it forever waiting to see if there's any action. And Lando's like, well, I guess that's it. We're out of here. Let's go. And I'm like, dude.
I've never seen anybody give up so quickly. I'm not getting wet. Let's go.
I clearly saw somebody swimming away from the bus.
I did too.
Like in two shots. Like, no, right there. He's right there. He's swimming away. There's a black, like you see his head. That's right there.
Yeah, that was
annoying. I guess in New York, the East River during this time, I guess if you were in there, you were effectively gone, right?
No one's
going to go.
No,
because
or that polluted.
Snowing and polluted.
Polluted was awful.
No cops getting in there. It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Because he got away.
I guess he's not here with us anymore.
They did have like boat cops though, and they still cops. Do.
Yeah. That's true.
Boat cops.
You could have gone out there. You're right. They had boat cops, but you got Lando going. All right, that's all good. Let's just leave.
But this was New York. I mean, okay. So during the early 80s and late 70s, we used to be during the 70s. We were very Americans were very dirty. We littered a lot. So much so that there was these big initiatives to get litter picked up, and they kind of addressed that in this film. But they were just constantly just throwing stuff off. You know, it's like, whatever, you know, throw this litter down here. No one was going to get that bus out of the river.
No.
You know that? That bus was going to stay there forever. That's where it landed.
Yep.
That's where it stayed.
Well, I guess we just now have a bus in the river. All right.
Yeah, that was going to be it. I mean, I don't know. Like, if you were to make this movie today, I just think there's a lot of holes and problems I have with it would actually be fixed by modern ideas. But then part of me is like, hey, if you're going to make a new Nighthawks, do it in the 70s. Do a period piece.
Yeah. Ooh, right. Yeah.
Like, I might enjoy that. And there's 100
Who's
actors.
Who's our guy now? I mean, we've kind of burned through a lot because we had like a little 70s era
Ashton
revival
Kutcher.
There for a little while.
Ashton Kutcher
would be?
I don't
think so. I think we've already ran.
I can't
talk
take
about
him
the new
serious.
People.
Yeah, I can't take him serious anyway.
Ray Liotta, ex-smoker Ray Liotta.
He's too old. Too old.
Thanks for those commercials.
A few years ago, maybe.
Much entertainment.
Yeah, no, he's too old.
Maybe some years ago. I mean, you could get somebody like De Niro to be the guy that's like yelling at him in the meetings. Somebody
okay,
like
Topher Grace.
I still think it's too old. I want to see like a, but I guess 30s.
Zac Efron or
no.
Annie Matterson.
These are all terrible names.
No, yeah, what are you talking about?
We got to do somebody.
Naming people from that 70s show. Come on.
Somebody.
Oh.
We need somebody good. All these names
are bad. We've already went through this. Yeah, that's the problem. We went through a whole bunch of actors. We had that little 70s revival there on TV and movies for a while. So we've kind of burned through all those characters. I'm trying to think of this generation's. Who would go?
All right. Here you go. Here's some choices.
What's something new and exciting?
Who would be your guy? I could see Brad Pitt at his age. I like a little bit of a grizzly Brad Pitt because he's still handsome, still kind of, you know, looks like he can get stuff done. He'd be all right.
So Stallone, both these guys were like in their 30s, right? Were they 40s? They said they were 30 in the film, but were they really in their 40s at this
they
point?
They look 30s to me. I'd be surprised if they were older than that. Yeah,
so
we could look it up.
Be a Scott Conn. Could you do like a Scott Conn kind of?
Oh, I could see a Scott Conn.
Yeah, he'd be all right. Maybe it's a lady partner. Do a dude and a lady partner. So you got like
a lady partner.
Tessa Thompson.
Ryan Gosling. He could do it. I liked him in Blade Runner.
He would have been amazing 10 years ago. I feel like now we need.
Kind of past it.
Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy in there. Done.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know what? Tom Hardy and Jeremy Renner. There's your pair. Get those two in there.
I think
done.
Chris Evans needs to break out of those superhero roles and step into this. That's what I think.
Well, Chris Evans.
It'd be really confusing for people because it'd be like, Nighthawks, is that a new thing?
I keep hearing that new that Chris Evans thing that's on Apple TV Plus that just premiered yesterday called, I forgot. It's about a New York DA whose kid supposedly commits murder and he's got to deal with it. Anyway, that thing's getting rave reviews. He's about to do his own thing, get the hell out of the captain's suit.
Defending Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, defending Jacob, that's it. Yeah.
Just hear me out. A Nighthawks remake starring Melissa McCarthy and Leslie Jones.
Okay.
It's too comedic.
So it's
though.
A comedy you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be a comedy. I'm just saying I want to see those two together again.
All right.
And Kristen Wiig is Wolfgar.
Yeah. Right. Look, if you're saying take a bunch of great comedic actresses, and there are a bunch of them, and make them play it straight, that's interesting to me. Like, I would actually be very interested in a Kristen Wiig serious villain role.
Yeah.
Like, would people feel weirdly discordant about that? I don't know, but I would see it. That sounds interesting.
Did any of us, and then I know I didn't, but did any of the rest of you see The Kitchen?
Never saw The Kitchen. No. I barely see it now.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be like a more straightforward Melissa McCarthy role with Elizabeth Moss.
Well, what was the thing she got nominated for?
Tiffany Haddish.
What was her
nomination? She got nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is about a woman who forges artwork. And it is fantastic. If you haven't seen Can You Ever Forgive Me, it's really, really good. But
yeah,
it's not.
I want to see that.
The Kitchen was last year. It was like a crime drama about wives of mobsters, I think, that take over when their husbands get killed, take over the
Yeah, I was talking about
mob stuff.
Yeah. Oh, right. They take over the business, the family business. I see.
Uh-huh. And it's based on a DC comic.
Oh, interesting. I'd be down to watch that. That sounds great. The Kitchen, eh?
The Kitchen. 24% on Rotten Tomatoes, so don't rush to see it.
Well, sounds
maybe
like
we rush to see it for this.
Yeah, maybe it's a bummer after all. Anyway, get creative with your casting, and I think you have a decent thing here. The problem is I don't think this has much of a following. None of us had seen it, right?
No.
None of us?
Yeah, no. This was French Connection 3 or something?
It was started as that, right? Like, they were trying to write a French Connection movie, and then they changed it because Gene Hackman didn't want to do it, and...
I didn't realize there was a French Connection too.
there's not really a cult following after this or anything. This just happened to fly in as a Nighthawk.
We have some listeners who adore it. I've gotten a few emails that are like, "You guys are going to be talking about my favorite movie growing up." I'm like, "Whoa!"
Well, I'll tell you, the ending made this movie. If up until I saw the ending, the big payoff, I was kind of like, "Eh." Mm-hmm. I probably forget this movie after about a week. Yeah. But with the payoff, I was like, okay.
It's so dumb. I laughed really hard.
I agree with Ibbot that this movie is riddled with these big moments that I'll never forget. I'll never forget the nightclub leading into the subway construction chase scene. I'll never forget that ending. The
Roosevelt tram car.
That is real searing. And so, like, I have a hard time really finding fault with the movie. Mm. It's 1981 as hell, you know. That's a bit of a problem, but gosh, even the weird music, it perfectly works.
I think we got a Deluxe Johnson team here. We don't have that very often, and I think we're in accordance here. I came away from it going, oh, this is actually kind of rad, and I can see why
ratings. I would not diss anybody for liking this movie, because I don't usually diss people.
You don't diss people for anything. You're the nice guy.
I'm not going to hold it against you for liking it. And I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. But am I going to go back and watch it again? No, because I'm probably going to go, you know what I'd rather watch? Cobra.
Yeah, you'll watch Cobra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I'm going to get some Stallone action.
That's an interesting comparison.
I'm going to watch Cobra or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would probably, I mean, if you're saying which would I rather sit down and watch right now, I'd probably say Cobra. So I guess...
It made me want to watch Over the Top, and then the phrase Over the Top made me want to watch the Schwarzenegger movie where he fakes his own death, and he says, "You should not drink and bake."
Kindergarten Cop.
Eraser?
Eraser. Eraser?
Eraser?
No, way less prominent Schwarzenegger film.
Oh,
I should have just looked up the title, but...
It's not a Tumor 3?
Anyway, it's...
Kindergarten Cop?
Kindergarten Cop 3, still not a tumor?
Schwarzenegger is in a loveless marriage, and he fakes his own death to get out of it and to go undercover with a Chicago mafia. Then he just kills everybody.
Red
Heat?
Red Heat. Not really. Nope. No, it's a Russian in that. I don't know, Randy.
I don't think I'm getting the description of this correct. Okay, so tell me about it again now. So this isn't a...
What time frame are we looking at?
I'm not recognizing it from the description so far.
There are people listening who are screaming the name at us, and I love this. And so we're just going to go with it.
All right.
So Schwarzenegger is a badass, like, county sheriff cop.
Oh, this is a recent thing.
No, this is like 1987 or something.
Oh, then not what I'm thinking.
And and he is in a loveless marriage, and he comes home, and his wife is drunk, and she pulls a cake out of the oven, and she didn't turn the oven on, and so it's still dough.
So you're talking about Raw Deal?
Yes, Raw Deal.
Raw Deal. I never saw Raw Deal.
When you started describing it, that made more sense.
Never saw
Red
Raw Deal.
Deal.
Yeah, Red
That's
Deal.
That's stuff you said before.
1986, he played Mark Kaminsky.
It made me want to watch movies like that. You know, like Nighthawks just gives way to a whole decade of stuff.
You know what?
I just like.
Totally down with this, with watching that. But let's get Raw Deal on the list. Yeah.
What's funny is I've seen the movie poster a million times. Yeah. And if you didn't have the words Raw Deal at the bottom, I would have said, oh, yeah, that's Predator, or that's Red Heat, or that's, you know, it could have been any other Schwarzenegger movie with that movie poster.
I think this is on Pluto TV about 6 months ago.
Was it?
I kind of fell in about halfway through, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this stupid movie.
Stupid movie. F this stupid movie. I'm in on this idea.
It's on Amazon Prime. I just found
it. It is on Amazon Prime.
I would totally. I would bump everything else right now that we're doing coming up.
For Raw Deal? I would.
Prime. I would resubscribe to Amazon Prime specifically just to watch
this. Arnold needs some love. So.
Guys, we just went from not knowing the movie. I obviously know
the very next the movie film
somewhat. We just jumped tracks. We're on a different train now.
Yeah.
This is great.
I think that's great. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Besides, Arnold's getting squeezed a little bit on our FilmSack stats website, which people should be checking out if you aren't. You're crazy.
I don't like that. Arnold's got to stay on the top.
He is currently. So this is what this week did to him. Sylvester Stallone is now tied with Schwarzenegger for the most actors, or the most positions of actors being on things. Second place, Frank Welker. He went up a notch because of last week.
Yeah.
So there was a two-way tie between Schwarzenegger and him. Still the runaway guy is this Thomas Rosales Jr. guy is still at 18. So we got 18, 14 for Frank Welker, and 13 is the tie now for Schwarzenegger Stallone. Let's get Schwarzenegger in here right away and fix this problem.
I need Schwarzenegger stat.
Yep. Let's get him back all up in there. Jean-Claude Van Damme still down at 10. And by the way, Dolph Lundgren's a sad little man at 9. Anyway.
Sad little man.
Even though he has a lot to do with a lot of these people on these lists. He's been in all their movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, when you're getting beat by Danny Trejo, you know you got to work harder. Anyway, I had a thing to tell you guys. Oh, the original cut of this movie was 2.5 hours long. They cut it way, way, way down. So we all were blessed by that, I suppose.
So that discotheque scene was actually almost 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
Doing this walking up and down thing.
Felt like it.
So dodge that bullet. Also, the Roosevelt tram was used in this film. There's only one other movie that was ever used in any significant way other than background stuff, and it was 2002's Spider-Man.
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 I thought The Firm, no?
I don't think so.
It's not that tram that Tom Cruise is kind of stuck in when...
Well, what you're doing now is creating...
Scrutiny.
So it's possible.
Mandela effect.
Well, it's possible IMDb is full of crap, so... that's where I got that info. So who knows?
I thought The Firm takes place entirely in a southern city like Memphis or Atlanta or something.
Feels like it should.
I thought
He was from big city, right? And then
this was like small town lawyer stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we do The Firm? Okay. We did The Firm.
We
right?
did do The Firm. Yeah.
That's really sad.
Because he ran a lot in that. I remember him just running like crazy in that.
Why are you running, lawyer man? This makes no sense.
Why are you running? Because I'm Tom Cruise.
The Memphis Suspension Railway, the Mud Island Monorail, is the one used in The Firm.
Oh,
two things about that SkyTram.
Yeah.
Two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One, a SkyTram better not stop and shake like that if I'm on it, because when they pulled the brake, that thing was like, wow.
Yeah. That freaks me out.
No, thank you. And secondly, do they have drop lines in those things? Mm. They can just drop down to a barge?
That operate, no kidding, that operate from within. I'm like everything. Right. I was surprised how much you could control that tram from within the tram. It feels like you should only be able to control that tram from the...
somewhere else.
From the terminus. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was...
That tram something. Tech was questionable.
There, you think? Yeah, it definitely didn't adhere to the laws of physics. But...
Right.
Yeah, I would have been a lot more freaked out. The lady with the baby as a chicken, which is basically kind of its own weird trope. In fact, I wrote here that this had a chicken that was a baby in it. I wrote.
Yeah.
But she was not freaked out enough for her kid. She needed to be more worked up. Later, she was crying and stuff. But when all that went down, dude, I don't know. I think I would have freaked out more. I didn't buy that these guys were maybe New Yorkers are just too tough or something. I don't know how that works. But
right.
I didn't buy any of them were upset enough. They should have been really losing their minds. Anyway, there's that. Let's see what else we got here. We didn't mention this. No, we didn't. Rutger Hauer, who I really like, lost his mother and his best friend during the production of the film two different times. He returned to his native Netherlands for both of their respective funerals, but returned to the production each time within a few days. People are like, you don't need to. And he's like, I'm gonna. He says this, but despite all the personal drama and the difficulties on the set and the travel and everything, Hauer stated in his autobiography, which I didn't know existed. I kind of want to read it. It's called Hobo with an Autobiography. Just kidding. Anyway, he says he was happy he stayed aboard the film as the movie caused him to be noticed in Hollywood and started an impressive international career. Oh, it's kind of nice, right?
Well, I liked his little performance. It was good.
Yeah.
And he's super creepy sneaking through the back rooms of your house, sneaking up on you. That was
Seven. You know,
that I enjoyed.
That felt like Seven a little bit, didn't it? A little bit of the ending of Seven. Yeah. Not quite the part where the head in the box and that, but somehow, for whatever reason, I got a little Seven vibe from that thing.
So, Rutger Hauer's autobiography is called All Those Moments, Stories of Heroes, Villains, Replicants, and Blade Runners. Wow. Like, that, man, what we don't need long titles on book covers. You know
what? People do that all the time. I mean, that's just subtitle, right? It's not really the
all
same.
Those moments, stories of heroes, villains, replicants, and Blade Runners.
Yeah.
All right, Rucker.
Yeah, whatever you got there, buddy. He didn't say hobos or Hitchers. Wasn't he in Hitcher? Wasn't he the Hitcher?
He was in Hitcher. Yeah.
Yeah. He should have said stories of Hitchers.
Watch Hitcher for this? We should watch.
We've never watched the Hitcher for this, and we totally should.
It's on our list of wishes. It just never shows up anywhere.
It's on our list of wishes.
Yeah. Our Aloysius. If that showed up anywhere, I'd say let's stream it. I'd bump it in front of Raw Deal. Okay. I'd get that.
Hey, how good is a guitar as a gun silencer?
Or a plastic bag.
A little awkward. Yeah, like it's. Yeah, I guess it's more like a gun hider than a silencer. Okay. It's just a way that you can get a little bit closer to the guy. I'm just holding a guitar.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm playing guitar. Look.
How about a Ziploc bag on your gun? How about that? Because he did that at the end. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when he was pretending to be the Bionic Woman and had the wig and the whatnot on, his gun was in a bag, and I thought, well, why?
Right.
That's not going to.
Because he was putting up the fish in the Ziploc, but it wasn't fish; it was a gun.
That's not really what he was doing. Was
didn't
he?
Want it to get wet from the washing dishes.
Okay.
Right.
I guess I don't know what that. I mean, honestly, when you'd shoot out of that bag. That doesn't. Yeah. There's no way that makes a muffle or a silence, right? So how?
Oh no, not at all.
So
not
why?
All.
Why would he
no,
do it? Was, why?
Did anybody notice any like prominent guns? Like any moment in the movie where you're like, whoa, look at that!
Oh, there's a Mac 10 in his
they
face.
Tons of prominent guns. They had like a sawed-off shotgun near the beginning, right? Was that what that was? He was carrying into the.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They had like all kinds of guns that were gritty and dirty.
Yeah.
They had different guns in that scene. Stallone had a Remington and Billy Dee Williams had a Winchester shotgun. Mm. And those were impressive. Like you see it when you finally realize they've got those under their trench coats. Whoa, here come the big guns. Like, what are they doing? And then they bust into a tiny, dingy apartment. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that whole fight at the beginning where they were really trying to set up Billy Dee Williams as a cop on the edge, man. Like they were trying to,
yeah,
about
the
to kill
cocaine
that dude.
Bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really just didn't follow up on that. Like, and by that, I mean his tendency to be a hothead or whatever.
He never got hotheaded again, and he never also addressed his hotheadedness later on.
Yeah. Which is a little.
Missed opportunity.
It's a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they could have gone places with that, but it's fine.
The gun that really stuck out to me is in the getting ready to go to war montage. Stallone goes to the firing range to make sure that he's a really good marksman with his pistol,
right.
and also to let out some rage on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I love that trope. And he's using a Smith & Wesson 629.
Yeah.
And it's the shiniest gun that you've ever seen. It's polished to a mirror glaze. Right. And it's just like, you see that and you're like, oh, you can't hide that, though. You can't conceal this gun made of mirrors.
Mm-mm.
And sure enough, he pulls it out at the end of the movie. It's the gun in the plastic bag.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which, I like how they heightened that scene as well with the sirens and stuff and the lights and they took it to the next level, I guess, to go like, oh, this is, you have to be immersed so that you're not distracted by those things you normally see.
Those movies were really into like street sound and New York sounds, right? Like back then everything was like sirens in the distance and horns honking and like they were really going for that whole thing.
Like 2012.
Yeah, a little bit. 2012. Oh, the movie 2012.
Yeah, like when the horns were blaring.
Yeah, I was thinking you meant the year, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on with the year? I was unaware of the connection to the year.
You sell melons in this bodega?
What was that all about?
I don't know. That was weird.
We also haven't talked about what I think grossed Scott out the most.
Yeah.
And I think it's
the city streets.
I think it's, well, I mean, New York as a whole, but I think, was there something, Scott, or am I?
I mean, you tell me, cause I didn't write one down, but you might be.
Poorly refrigerated oyster.
Oyster
slurping.
All right. I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. And I've
questionably
done
refrigerated.
I've done a terrible job of writing that down because you're absolutely correct. Yeah. I think I was just so into the motif that everything in the city is gross right now that it didn't really hit me. But you're totally right. That would have been the grossest thing.
Look on the side.
Just wipe, slurp it, drop your shell on the ground, wipe your hands in your pants, and get back in the car.
It's no way to live. And also, just
that's the way we were, man.
Given the pandemic we're in right now, everything anyone touched in this movie just seemed grimy and terrible and the worst possible thing to touch. And when they're in that disco, I'm like, y'all are sweating. It's the 70s. This is gross. You don't have cell phones. What a miserable time to live.
Cell phones.
It was really something.
Don't have cell phones.
So all of that was gross.
What have you been doing with your life?
So here's John Goodman for all of that. All right, that's for all of it. Good job. All right.
Was it at the UN mixer anyway? Because I'm telling you, Perseus's balls were shrunk up hard.
Wait. What? Whose balls? I'm confused.
Who's Perseus?
You mean the statue?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice. Hold
Medusa's head.
All right. With his
junk hanging out.
His balls are always like that, though. Yeah, it doesn't matter how cold it is. Perseus was he had a little tight bag. That was his deal.
Little coin purse, little.
He was getting the testosterone from somewhere else, and let those things just
clash of the testes.
So since he's stone, and he's got the head, does that mean he looked in the head? Is that what happened? Is that why he's?
Oh shit! Don't go that deep, dude. There's trouble in those waters. Oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that's a real dude. Did you know that? There's a real guy under there.
It's not a statue.
How embarrassing. I should have put something on before.
It's very embarrassing.
Frozen by Medusa.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, I got clips. Do you guys want to hear some clips?
Oh my gosh, please.
I've got some. They're actually pretty good this week, so enjoy these. Let me skip over here where I can actually see them. All right, here we go. How about this one? Oh, it's that lady again. We'll just play her again.
May I help you with anything?
Okay, so she's just real good.
Help you with anything?
Oh, yes, I think you might be interested in something like this.
I think she's just doing a bad English accent. I think that's what that is.
I don't know, but it took her forever to scoot that bag underneath there.
I know.
I didn't think it was ever going to get it done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Press the bag with my foot.
Like so.
Foot. All right, here is the
3-hour movie.
How long is the timer on this bag?
I like that Rutger Hauer suddenly breathes all of his words like that. Yeah,
right.
Here's some cool 70s jive talking. Here you go.
Talking to you, pig.
I'm talking to you, pig. Hey, you pig.
Yeah. You pig. How much you want for this here?
What are you talking?
I'm talking to you, pig.
Oh, yeah. It's just so.
That's awesome.
So
we don't call people sucker anymore either. That was another thing we got. A couple of times.
Sucker.
And they had that old
whatever sucker.
That old British man using that term. They were like, hey, what if the old guy training everybody kept saying sucker? And I'm like, yeah, what if you don't? Don't have him do
what
that.
What if you don't?
Okay, now for the first time in FilmSack history, I'm going to allow an unbleeped F-bomb. And the reason I'm going to do it is because the way Lando Calrissian of Cloud City decides to say that the use his use of the mother effer is busted. It does not sound right.
Tell the kids to go to bed.
Right.
Or just hold their ears for a second.
30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, 10 seconds even. It's really short. In fact, the clip itself is 4.8 seconds, which I'm about to start in 3, 2, 1.
Waste it on the ship, motherfucker! Motherfucker!
Let him go, man.
That's not the right way to say it.
I don't know. I like it.
I think it's pronounced F-U-G-G. E-K-E-R.
It's like the way that they all take turns pronouncing it. Again, in Usual Suspects, second time I'm going to bring up that film. But when they're all in the police lineup and the lady's trying to identify him, I'm going to give me all your money. Some of them kind of play it up a little bit. It's kind of exactly the way they say it in that film.
It's just really weird.
Waste it on the ship, motherfucker.
It's just not right.
Oh, see, now
I forgot to warn him. Sorry. Warning.
The kids are all back in. I thought you said it was okay, Mom.
It's all right. He says it so wrong, it's barely a swear word. It's fine.
It's barely a swear word.
Yeah.
But this is the scene where Stallone is basically cradling Billy Dee Williams, who has just taken a terrible, terrible wound, right?
No, this is the one. This is the drug bust scene where he's got the guy on the table and he's about to shoot him. And he sees the kid and then feels bad and then won't shoot him.
Right.
Different scene. Right. So the one you're thinking of, Stallone is yelling it and he's going, "I'll kill you, you mother effer!" And he just yelling it at the top of his Stallone lungs. His mouth's going all sideways like it does when he yells because he can't yell straight. He can't yell symmetric.
Right. Right.
When Stallone yells, it goes rah, way over here to the left. It's amazing.
Almost like he's got a fish hook pulling part of his lip.
Yeah. Well, that doctor. That made for such a weird gif. I will treasure it always. All right. Here's a lady. Or no, this is the bionic woman. Almost Captain Janeway. It's a nice thing to remember.
Oh.
It's another Star Trek mirror connection. Yeah.
Oh, right.
She was almost. I think she would have been a great Janeway, by the way. I think she would have been great, but whatever. Anyway, Lindsay Wagner saying what?
What?
That's all. That's all that was.
What? Was that her farting? Is that what that was?
Let me try it again.
What?
Is that what she's...
No, it's people out. See, again, it's New York sound. Someone's outside going, cutting into the street with a jackhammer. Hammer. Yeah. That was my stripper name for about 5 years, Jackhammer. Here's a line I don't remember. So here it is.
One of these days, it would be nice if someone listened before it was too late.
Okay. Nigel Hawthorne.
Had a really hard time establishing that character.
Yeah. Like,
he needs to be this completely tough, completely aloof, expert.
Yeah.
And we need to connect with him because the weakest part in the movie is Stallone deciding he's had enough of all this and he's going to leave the class.
Yeah.
And then he has to come back because he realizes that he's got to stay. That it's really weak. It's really hard to pull it off. And you need that British guy to be someone that's impressive. And so they start by introducing him on the street as someone to, I don't even want to hear you speak. You can't even talk. I'm so mad at you right now. And you're supposed to go, oh, well, who might that be? Who's this amazing character that you're yelling about? You don't even want him to talk, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be this guy. And you're like, oh, okay.
In the remake, it's modern day Pierce Brosnan. That's who you use. He could do it, and he could fix the problem you're talking about, and he could be that, you know, wise. If it has to be even a British guy for whatever reason, from the British, you know, secret.
I would like it to be Jared Harris.
Oh, that'd be all right too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever. I'd like Jared Harris in all things. Yeah. So, it's too bad you never got to see Jared Harris and his dad Richard Harris in the same movie. That would have been something.
Did they never act?
I don't
together?
Think they did. As far as I know, they didn't. If they did, I'd love to be proved wrong because I would watch whatever that is. Because the Harrises they're pretty kick-ass, turns out. Although Richard was a notorious drunk, and I don't think Jared is. Anyway, no one likes your crap, is this line.
Huh? Nobody likes your crap. None of you. Neither one of you.
Yeah. Huh? My favorite part is the first part.
Nobody likes your crap.
Where he goes,
We're all back down at the precinct talking about you. We don't like your crap.
Yeah.
We don't like you and your wig.
No. Yeah.
We don't Bob like over it. There, we love his crap. His crap is the best.
His crap is the best. He's the worst.
More like Bob.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Sergeant. Anyway.
It's like this guy is a this guy is an angry plumber that you've just asked to come fix your clogged toilet.
Yeah. He's like, hey, does it matter if the pipes are in the other room? Yeah, he'd just get all mad and get all pissed at you. No one likes your crap. All right, Hook.
Oh.
Here's Hook in the Mouth guy, French guy. All right, I got him. Here he is. He's making a weird noise.
Oh, you seem to have look at my mouth.
Okay, which one do you want? You want that nose? All right, that nose is fine, sure.
He just
yeah, that's how you
it.
Motivate someone who's about to change how you look forever.
Yeah, and then they shot him anyway. They didn't show it, but they said they just killed him. So, freaking Rugger Howard, dude, not taking any crap. All right, here's an angry dude. He's very angry.
No, I don't understand.
Get your hands off me! Understand this, sucker! You're a cop, and you'll go where you're assigned!
Jeez Louise.
Give me your gun and your bag!
He sounds a little like Joey Pants for some reason. I hear
a little bit. Yeah.
You wrecked three cars.
Yep. Here's one for what's this?
Understand this, sucker.
Oh, I just isolated it. That's what that was. All right. Here's one of my favorite ones. What we knew about Ibbot in high school. Okay.
Oh, good.
We knew this about you. This was nothing to do with prom. It was just kind of a prerequisite to kind of know what Ibbot was all about. And here's the case file we found.
His pattern is that he immediately makes female contacts to establish safe housing for his armory. He also has a liking for fancy foods, expensive clothes, and the nightlife.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All 100% true, and not just high school, but now as well.
Yeah, all the way through
college. I need those ladies for safe harbor. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta find some place for my storm. Armory.
Yeah, gotta put your stuff somewhere. I get you.
Yeah, my fancy clothes and my...
Your nightlife. Yeah, your nightlife.
I'm living the wrong life.
I got to boogie.
It's like I'm living the wrong life. I don't think I'm going out and meeting enough strange ladies and leaving stuff at their houses.
Right. Well, sure. You got to get in there. Got to get in there and make that happen. All right, here's, I don't know what this is.
If he has changed his face, he will be more dangerous than ever.
Okay, why? Just so we won't recognize him? Why would he be more dangerous than ever? He's still a homicidal bombing maniac. Why would it be any different? I don't like that line.
But he's more dangerous, which is to say we won't recognize him, which increases the danger.
I don't know. He may as well.
They didn't know what he looked like before until they saw his...
Until Sylvester Stallone erased the glasses and the beard of the drum that he made. It's like, wait a minute. This is what he looks like.
Yeah. Now, this movie has spent some time explaining how to forget a certain thing, and I've for most of my life tried to forget, especially the bad Police Academy movies. So here's some advice from this film on how to do that.
Oh, once and for all, forget this Police Academy nonsense.
Okay, finally, I can be rid of it. I'm done. Right. No more.
Sounds
rid of
all so that. Much like Sergeant Lazard in
Yeah.
Hightower, forget about all this Police Academy business.
There's also a bit of Graham Chapman and The Meaning of Life there.
A little bit.
I want to ask Scott and Brian, did you connect at all with Da Silva? His name was Da Silva, right?
Yeah.
Did you connect at all with him in so far as he was pretty good at sketching and he kept a pad and sketched?
No, I don't know how he was like... The whole creating a drawing of Wolfgar and keeping with him and then trying other things like he's a woolly willy magnetic pencil shavings drawing. The fact that he's the only one who's figured out that you can actually erase the glasses and the beard and come up with another
look. I'd like to see him with a woolly willy.
Willy willy.
Trying to keep that thing not shaken up while you're out on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Oh, I put it vertically in my pocket. Now all the fur is at the bottom.
Well, wait a minute. Look. If you hold it like this, it looks like him.
Yeah.
There he is.
I just figured out who he reminds me of. I'm going to play this one more time.
Oh, once and for all, forget this Police Academy nonsense.
All right, now listen to this.
Diplomatic immunity.
A little bit, right?
A little bit more than just a passing
resemblance. All right, here is him getting mad again.
Well, it's not my responsibility to be part of an accidental homicide.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Da Silva!
Jeez Louises. Also, is it homicide or homicide? How do you say
it? I say homicide, but...
I feel like the world says homicide and Stallone's...
But, you know, it's life on the street. You pronounce it however you want.
I guess so. They say MF-er wrong, too. Why not that?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, you know, there's not a lot of angry acting from Sylvester Stallone himself, but he sure inspires it in others.
Oh, he certainly does. Okay, here's Stallone being more Stallone than usual.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of that. Now, my favorite part, the part you've all been waiting for, is this comparison. This is going to be way over. I'm overdoing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is him saying, from Nighthawks, saying this line.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry? Okay. And here he is from I don't know what movie, 2013, whatever it was we watched. He says
probably
it here.
Probably Rocky III.
Probably.
Are you hungry?
See? Listen to that. So now if I play him again.
Are you hungry? Are you hungry?
He's slowing down over time.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I love it. I would love for Are You Hungry to be Stallone's I'll Be Back. Like for him to try and work that into every film he's ever been in.
Maybe he has. We just haven't noticed
it. Yeah, we just haven't noticed it.
Yeah.
How amazing would that be if we discovered a catchphrase 20, 30, 40 years later?
Right after.
I agree. That'd be,
that'd be great.
That'd be crazy. Anyway, all right. Well, there's that. How about this one?
Shock. When the walls fell.
All right.
I see what you did. That's brilliant.
I couldn't help it. Every time they called her Shaka, which...
Shaka.
Although he stopped there.
He's more like Shock.
Yeah, but and other people would say Shaka, and all I could think of was...
When the walls fell.
When the walls fell. That was it. All right.
You know, it would have been more effective, too, if after she shot him, if they kept the elevator running and it just kept scraping his body up as the elevator kept going.
Oh, yeah. That would have been... Yes. I would have preferred that outcome. All right, here's a bastard thing.
I want that bastard.
Oh, yeah, when they were face-to-face in the helicopter. Well done.
Yeah, what was your game plan? You going to land it on the tram? You're just going to go look at him and then have to go, you know, fly another 20 minutes to land and go somewhere else.
Yeah,
it was so loosely based on the idea that he need to get into the head of the terrorist. And so I guess looking him in the eyes is the only way he could do it. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. This is all true. Now this. Hey, this is the Film Sack Checklist. Hobo with a bag bomb? Check. Lando is Rando Mando in this film, though? Check.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. He should have took that shot? Check. All right. Star Trek Connections, we talked about it before. We'll say it again. Persis Kambata, I think is how you say her name. She played Shaka Holland in Star Trek The Motion Picture. She played Lieutenant Ela, or Bald Lady. Everyone knows her as.
Ela,
whatever it is.
I was Ilya, but man, Ilya? It's been a while since I've seen that. That movie feels like it's 3 hours long.
It's Ilia, so Ilya.
Ilya.
Yeah. I think you're right. She was a lieutenant Ilya. In there.
Or Ilya. Ilya?
Ilya.
Bonanza, I think is her name. Bonanza. Soundtrack grade. I'd give it an LSAS as for late 70s as shit. That was definitely what that was. Mm-hmm. And I'm with Randy that it kind of fit and felt fine. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Proggy. Nice
Proggy and okay. All right. Twitter post is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Nighthawks. People screaming and moaning at each other so much, and they're dressed up in drag, and they're so passionate, and you and your partner have to chase people and grab them and hold them down just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Yeah, that was one where I knew right away where you were going. Get down
like,
from the
felt
top.
Like coming home.
Yeah, it is. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Nighthawks. No, Pam. Lift the needle, not slide. Lift. Gripes. There's no security, a freaking terrorist.
All right. Hashtag.
Pam and her fast forwarding of that LP.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. But do you include O in your number of characters for your Twitter post?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Hi.
It was all short.
always seem surprised when you're called upon.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. We're used to hearing that.
Oh, am I still here?
Yeah, you're here. Finally, Brian Ibbot.
Nighthawks. I kept waiting for the scene where they're dressed up in suits quietly drinking coffee at a Philly's Corner Diner.
Yeah. Does it have anything to do with the painting?
No.
Not at all.
I doubt
not
it.
At all.
I doubt okay. it.
Just a deep cut.
That's a great tweet.
Is there a hero, like a superhero called Nighthawk?
There is. It's what, isn't that what Robin became?
No, that's Nightwing. Isn't
Nightwing.
It?
Nightwing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Nighthawk. There is a Marvel Nighthawk that's like a, he's got a bird beak face.
He's like some kind of hawk.
Oh, yeah. Marvel Comics Nighthawk.
He's got hawk powers.
Yeah. Nighthawk is the name of several and fictional characters appearing in American comic books. Says there have been six versions of the character, a supervillain turned superhero from the mainstream Marvel Universe continuity, Kyle Richmond, who belonged to the team of this Squadron Sinister, and five from alternate universes who belong to various incarnations of the Squadron Supreme. Scoot McNary.
I feel
McNary.
Like he was a Thunderbolt, yeah. Like he was in Thunderbolts too, but maybe not.
Oh, maybe. There was a short film, I guess, that starred Scoot McNary portraying Jackson Norris in the Marvel Cinematic Universe short film All Hail the King, where he is an agent of the Mandarin.
Oh my God! Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Wow, Scoot McNary. We love Scoot McNary.
Do we?
We totally do. He was in Godless on Netflix. Yeah. Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, we do like him. You're right. We do like Scoot McNary. It sounds like a thing you'd order at McDonald's and all your hair would fall off. But anyway, yeah, Scoot McNary. He's great. Look at him. He's in all sorts of stuff I like. He's in Argo.
True Detective.
12 Years a Slave and Frank. And oh my
gosh. I forgot he was in that. So he was playing the character, the guy that becomes Nighthawk in that Marvel one-shot thing. Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. Okay.
Kind of want to see it now.
I kind of do, too.
He was Maurice LaFay in the Fargo TV series from 2017, the most recent season. Oh, my gosh. Axe Cop?
Yeah.
I don't care about that. Bones, bunch
of
stuff.
Look at that. Oh, that's great.
He's a weird-looking dude, and he's cool. I like him. All right. Well, that was a fun learning experience.
Fern. Yeah.
Now that you've done that, I can do this here. Got these two alternate titles. It was originally called Over the Top Hair. Or Rutger, how are you today? Oh, the dad jokes were just flowing. All right. Hey, quick email. These emails come to us normally by filmsack@gmail.com, but sometimes people leave them on the website. We have a little form there you can fill out and use. Actually, all the shows on the network do now, and some people use these. So I decided to do three quickies here. First one's from quickie. Shania. I'm not sure how you say it. It could be Shane A. I don't know. Anyway, it says, I'm a new listener, and I listened to all of the episodes as far back as 2018. How can I listen from the beginning? Easy. There's a second RSS feed up on the site. You'll find it under audio, other ways to get the show, how you get the normal podcast. In there is the archive feed, and that includes everything all the way back to 2009 and our first episode about Kroll. It's all chronologically and available there. So you just may not have known about it. And you can easily just paste that into any podcast player on your phone, your desktop. It doesn't matter where you're getting this stuff. That's how you do it. Now, if you're looking for like some web way of doing it, I don't really have that set up. But if you want access to every episode we've ever done, that's how you do it.
The answer is you don't want to.
Yeah. Answer is avoid all of them. Then we got Larry writing in saying, hey, Randy, I love your French lick Larry Bird joke. I don't think the other guys got it.
Yep.
So can you explain it? Because you were talking about his hair, and I said it was a cow lick, and you said it was a French lick.
Larry Bird grew up in a town called French Lick, and he was long known as the hick from French Lick.
Okay. Now it makes sense, and that actually is a good joke, and he's right. We didn't get it. So, Larry, thank you. I don't know if this guy's name is really Larry. I think it is.
These podcasts, every one of them, are full of little tidbits like that. They're just droppings for whoever gets them.
Yeah.
And we're glad when you do.
Yeah, we all do it. Everybody drops them.
Droppings.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Pick them up. Follow your way home. Here's one from Stephanie Morris, who wrote in and said, suggesting a movie called Bandersnatch, made by Black Mirror people. I choose your own adventure style type scenario. It's on Netflix. So I knew about this. Obviously, everybody knew it existed. I haven't actually seen it because I just didn't bother. Is it possible that if the four of us watched it, we would all have different outcomes? Is that the idea?
Well, it is possible. Yeah.
It's just not sackable. I'm sorry. It's just not.
It is a fun experience, though.
It is a fun experience.
Yeah.
And there's
highly recommend.
The way to do it, here's how I would recommend watching it. Watch it and choose the way you would go through it, and then go onto the internet and find the kind of there's a golden path that kind of takes you through the best scenario of that whole story that they're trying to tell. And don't bother like trying to go 18 times watching through that thing, but just watch it yourself, pick the way you want to watch it, and then go and find the golden path and then watch it that way.
All right, let me ask you this. Does that film feature Benedict Bandersnatch? Is he in it? Okay.
Cumbersnack Bandersnatch?
Yeah, Cumbersnack Bandersnatch.
And it's not really a film the way that a lot of Black Mirror episodes are.
Mm.
It's a real TV show like thing. And I got so mad at it because the first time I ever watched it, I got into a loop that I couldn't figure my way out of. And I had to go look up a way to get out of the loop. And really the way was to back up and rewatch the beginning and make a different decision earlier.
Yeah.
And it was just, it just made me mad, you know?
Did Mandalorian come out and say, this is the way? When he finally figured out. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Then next on our list here is this one from, Stephanie Morris. Oh, she says that. Oh, and then she gives that. Never mind. That was the last one. That was three of them. I gave you three. That's it.
Okay.
Right. So anyway, if you want to send your messages that way, it's really easy. Just go to the website and check it out because there's a little form there. You don't have to even give us your real name. You can give us a fake nickname or anything. It doesn't matter. We're just trying to make it fast and easy for you. If you send something spammy or dumb, it just won't get read. So
yeah, bother.
Yeah, don't even
save
bother.
Your postage.
Yeah, the whole idea is to save you from having to open your email and go start a new email and type in the like. You don't have to do that here. You can just do that at the site filmsack.com. If you'd rather use an email though, you still can. filmsack@gmail.com is the email address, and you can find that on the site as well. Okay. Our next movie was going to be something, but now it's going to be something else. And
we're going to watch Raw Deal.
Raw Deal.
Raw Deal.
Schwarzenegger's Raw Deal. And it's all about him and the deal he got that was raw, right?
I really hope there is a saying of the title of the movie by Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie.
This is a real raw deal.
Boy, I really got down the raw deal.
It's directed by John Irwin. John Irwin directed this thing. Yeah. And he also made City of Industry and The Serious Robin Hood from 1991, and a movie that I think is real underrated, which is Hamburger Hill.
Oh, Hamburger Hill, the Vietnam deal.
Came out around the same time as the other Full Metal Jacket and Platoon, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Hamburger Hill came after Raw Deal, so we're kind of going back for this guy, but I'm surprised we haven't really seen any of these movies for Film Sack yet, so I'm excited.
I am too. Raw Deal, and it's on. Okay, so the one big switcheroo here is that it's on Prime. Amazon Prime. So just know that it's we aim for Netflix, but we're willing to branch out. We have before, so this is another one of those. But just so you're not confused, if you're going to Netflix and searching and can't find it, that's because it's on Amazon Prime Video, is where you're gonna watch that. For those who do that, for those who watch along with us, and there are a few, there are many of you that do. Anyway. That's going to be it for us today. Filmsack.com is the website to go to find all the things that we do. That includes that archive, so don't forget, you can catch all our old shows. It doesn't have to stop in 2018. I always keep the most recent 200 episodes on the feed, and then everything after that goes into this archive feed, so go get it. It's just too damn big if I keep it all on one. It starts to starts to be very expensive. So, go check it out. That's filmsack.com for all of that. You can leave us voicemails even at 801-471-0462. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter, @filmsack. You can follow us all on Twitter by going to the website as well. They're all linked there, so it's super easy to catch all of us there. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
There is no security.
Well, that's true. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.